You know, I want to echo some things today that have already been said here. My sermon title this morning is Remembering 9-12. I'm not talking about 9-11. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but I want to remember 9-12-2001 is what I want to remember. And we will get into that. But you know, if you would turn to Psalms, the 46th chapter, beginning with the first verse, I'm going to read the whole chapter of Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Can you say amen to that? That's true. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth shall be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Can you say amen to that also? Listen, let's read it. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttereth his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, that demonstration he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Amen. Beautiful scripture. Beautiful. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. I want to thank you and praise you this morning for what you've done, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your mercy. I thank you for your love, Lord, that you give us, Lord. I thank you for what you have blessed us with, Lord, as a nation and as a people, Lord, as a community and as a church. Well, I want to praise you for that, Lord. I ask you, Father, now to open up our hearts and minds this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would do all this, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. As already been said here this morning, some events in human history impact us so greatly that we will never, ever forget them. They're engraved in our mind. Am I right? 9/11/2001, of course, was one of those times. I seriously doubt that anyone who was alive at that time and who was old enough to comprehend what was going on will ever forget what took place on that day. Probably not. You'll never forget what happened on that date. Many here know just where they were, what they were doing. I've heard Greg talk about it this morning. I've heard other people talk about it down through life. I was working at the time, and maybe I've told you this before, I was on midnights. I just finished up midnights that night. And Tink was working down at Blue Cross at the time. It was a Tuesday morning, I remember that. And I come home and I went to bed because I was on midnight. I went to go ahead and sleep a little bit so I could get up that afternoon. The phone rang probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Whatever time it was sometime about that. Maybe it was closer to 10. It was Tink on the phone. She had woke me up and she said, "Have you been watching what's going on?" Which I'd been asleep. So immediately I turned on the television, like most of you who were there watching what was taking place, what was unfolding. It seemed like that from that time on, I watched the news nonstop for days, like most of you. Seems like that I did. Every time we watched that footage, we relived it, did we not? Those of you who are old enough and was at that time, whenever you watched that footage, you relived it every minute of it. I know I did. Greg mentioned the amount of people that passed away. 2,606 died when the towers fell. That not to mention. We watched that tragically. 15 years ago, we watched it. We watched people jumping to their death from those towers, did we not? I remember watching it. I remember watching that and saying, "What's that? Is that debris?" It was people jumping. We watched as a plane hit our Pentagon, killing 125 people. We listened to a husband talking to her wife on the phone, a mother talking to her son at Flight 93 right before it crashed. You remember that one, don't you? That crashed up in Pennsylvania. Remember the people that were talking to their loved ones in the 9/11 tower by phone or left messages for them. I'm here to tell you this morning, it took 40 innocent lives whenever Flight 93 died. And we said we would never forget. You remember that? the people of this nation said we would never forget. And most of us never have. Most of us never have. But it seems that large America has forgotten what took place 15 years ago on that day. Some politicians have forgotten. The terrorists remember it well. They still celebrate it. You know that, don't you? They still celebrate that. They call that a great victory. But 9/11/2001 is not the only date that I want us to focus on. Why? And I'll get to that in a minute. I want us to remember 9/12/2001. Do you remember how you felt the next day? Do you remember how that you felt the next day? How this nation felt the next day? Do you remember all the prayers that went up on that day right there? Do you remember that was a church night? We went to church that night. I suppose most of you went to church that Wednesday night. On 9/12/2001, we weren't white, we weren't black, we weren't Hispanic, we weren't Asian. We were Americans. That's what we were. We were Americans. People started back to church and they started praying. Like Greg said, a record number of people attended church the Sunday after 9/11. Do you know that? Not just your little church here. Churches across this country. The churches were flooded and people flocked to the house of God seeking answers. And guess what? The answers were there. The answers were there if they just took time to look at it. For a time, Congress worked together. Do you remember that? Do you remember Congress singing God Bless America on the Capitol steps? Now you couldn't get them to agree on nothing today. And I'll get to a point. This is not all political. Believe you me, it's not. For a time, people gave unselfishly of their time and all the things that they did. It seemed like that everyone was flying Old Glory, were they not? They had the flags hanging on cars, hanging from buildings. Everywhere you go, they weren't stomping on it. They weren't trying to burn it. People were living as one, it seemed like. Kids were allowed to even pray in school at that time. Did you know that? There were some schools that even would allow their kids to pray in school. Oh, don't try that now. For a time, God had America's full attention. For a time. But that's a problem. Time has come and time has went. Time has made us forget what has happened. That words that we said that we would never forget, I'm here to tell you, we have forgotten what God has done. You see, the past 15 years has brought us back to the same place where we were before the tragedy. And I'm here to tell you, over the course of that 15 years, we have not only slid back, but brothers and sisters, we have went and have fallen even further down the line than what we were at that time. George Santa Anna's famous quote still rings true today. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to do what? To repeat it. Remember that. Those who cannot remember the past are doomed to repeat it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we have slid past that point. At a time, this time right now, we need the Lord more than we ever did. We need to remember 9/12/2001 as much as we remember 9/11/2001. Because that's when, as a nation, that's when, as a people, as our hearts, we really did try to pull together and try to come under God, one nation under God. We tried to do that. We have forgotten how it felt on 9/12/2011. Proverbs 26:11, and I read this, and it just breaks my heart. But it says this, and it says, "A dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." It's sad. It is sad. Hear me, church. Hear me when I say this morning. We are heading back down the same path to perdition that we were on before 9/11/2001, and I'm here to tell you we are headed down all wholeheartedly in full gain, full speed ahead. Any ground that we had gained during that time, it has been swallowed up just like a big sinkhole. God was trying to speak to us back then. Do you understand that? I believe whenever that tragedy hit on September the 11th, 2001, God was trying to speak to this nation and to the world. And guess what? God's still trying to speak. And I'm going to get into some scripture here in a little bit that I want you to mark it down, because I want you to understand. If you've got pencils and paper, write these scripture down, because I want you to understand this morning. The Lord's still trying to say to us 15 years later, as He did to the prophet Jeremiah, "Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent Him of the evil that He has pronounced against you." Listen, He was talking to Israel then, but I'll tell you what, He could just say that right to this nation today. A nation that wants to serve God. A nation that will turn back to God. A nation that will do all these things. I'll tell you what, God repent of the evil He has in store. But we have to repent. Church, the Lord's still trying to tell us that today. I believe He's still trying to tell us that today. But for how much longer, I don't know. I don't know how much longer. I'm not no prophet. I don't know. Greg read some prophecy scripture to you today. You know what? God could come back any moment as far as I'm concerned. He could split the eastern sky and come back to take His church. I believe that He could do that. I believe everything's in place. I really do. I'm not just standing up here saying that because I've heard it said before. I believe it. And I believe that you know that. Things have waxed worse and worse. What must we do? What must we do as Christians and as church people? Like, the world is falling around us. What must we do? Our country's in such a mess. Listen, remember what it felt like on 9/12. Remember what it felt like on that day. Yes, we were still in shock, but praise God, it made us turn to the God, the living God. And what I say is, we need to dial 911. 911 to God. 911 is what we need to do, and this is where I want you to get this scripture. Pray and don't panic, number one. When panic takes over, prayer ceases. Do you understand that? Whenever we cannot see, whenever we get to the point where we are in such panic that we can't see who is in control, we're in trouble. Remember, no matter what goes on around us in our lives, if tragedy strikes like it did on 9/11, listen to me, we have to remember. We have to remember that God is in control, and it's not time for us to panic. It's time for us to pray. And we must continue to pray for those who are homeless and missing their loved ones. As Linda had mentioned, there are people that are still hurting from that. They missed their loved ones. We had a family in Parkersburg, you remember, that had lost a daughter in that. We should pray for our nation today. Like I said, dial 911. How about Nehemiah 9:11? And here's what it says. Remember who's in control. "And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land. And their persecutors thou throwest into the deep as a stone into the mighty waters." The natural man will panic, but praise God, the supernatural man, the spiritual man will not panic, because we know that God is in control. Job 9:11. "Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not." Job didn't see God in his low times. He didn't see Him. But guess what? Job knew God was there. I don't know where you're at or what you're going to be at in your lowest ebb of life. I know some people in here have went through lots of things. But I'm here to tell you, God did not desert you. God has not deserted you. God will never desert you. Just like Job, what Job went through, listen to me, folks. Job didn't see God face to face, but Job knew that God was there. I know God's there. I know He's there for us. I know He's there for me. No matter what you're going through in life, I know that He is there. Job didn't see Him. How about Psalms 91:1? "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." How about that? It's hard to see in the shadows, is it not? Whenever we're driving and you go through certain areas, it's kind of hard, even when the sun's out and you're in the shadows. But praise God, when you come back up out of it, out into the light, you know that you can see better. And praise God, you may be going through a valley right now. But listen to me. It may be hard to see him. It may be scary. But guess and realize whose shadow that is. It's God's. It's God's. How about dialing 1 Corinthians 9:11? If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap you carnal things? Things are just things, folks. Things are just, they pass away. They pass away, but the devil cannot touch the spiritual being. He cannot touch the spiritual things that God has installed inside of us. If you are a Christian, the devil cannot touch it. Praise God, he cannot do that. We are in God's hands. Do you believe that this morning? We are in God's almighty hands this morning. Job told us this also, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord taketh away." But I love this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God has given us so much, and God has taken some from us. Right? But you know what? Can we not still say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? He's let us have it for a short time on this earth sometimes. I told you, my sister, I had my sister for 11 short years. But praise God, I had her that long. And I'm here to tell you this morning, no matter what, enjoy what you got right now. But you know what? There may come a time when you don't have it. And praise God, blessed be the name of the Lord. How about dialing 2 Corinthians 9:11? Being enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Truly, truly, we have Christ. We have it all. Do we not? Am I telling you the truth this morning? Those that know the Lord as a personal Savior, you have it all. You have it all. We're rich, we're blessed, we shall be thankful in all the circumstances of life. We have it all. Believe God and don't blame Him. That's another thing I want to talk to you about this morning. When bad things happen, especially to good people, and they do, I'm here to tell you this morning, do not think for one minute that bad things don't happen to good people, because they do. They do. We like to point our fingers at God. We like to blame Him. Some will blame Him. Some will even turn their backs on Him whenever this happens. Some will suggest that God is punishing certain individuals. God isn't fair, is what they say. It's part of our nature to play the blame game. But I want us to dial Ecclesiastic 9:11. And it says, "I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to the man of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." Did you get that? The wisest man that ever walked on the earth. He had it. He knew. He knew. The sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. Things are not always going to be fair. But listen to me. We cannot point our puny little fingers at God and try to blame Him. We cannot do that. How about die on Daniel 9:11? "Yea, all Israel have transgressed my law, even by departing, and that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him." What is that? What am I trying to say there? Listen to me. Whenever Adam and Eve sinned on this earth, whenever they sinned, it come upon all mankind. And you know what? Whether we think it's fair or not, we are all paying the price for that. Because of this sin world, because of this world that we live in. How about dying Deuteronomy 9:11? "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant." We shouldn't blame God. We should, you know what? But believe Him. He give us His law. He give us His word. He give us His Son. That we could get past all this. That we can be part of His. We don't have to blame Him for nothing. We just should be thankful that He made a way. Amen. He has made a way that you and I can, you know what? That you and I can come to Him. And guess what? We can come to Him and we can be with Him forever. I love it. I love the idea of being able to, one of these days, when I close my eyes in death, or maybe He'll come and get me before then, I will be with Him forever and ever. Do you know how long ever is? That's forever. He wants us to save us from them. He only wants us to believe like the blind man. How about John 9:11? And He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam,' and I went and washed, and I received my sight." I want to ask you something this morning. Do you need to see your sight renewed this morning? I'm not talking about your physical sight. I'm talking about the spiritual eyes. Greg talked about the veil. That veil is covering this world. The God of this world, I'm talking about the little g of this world, the Satan himself, has blinded the eyes of people. They don't understand. There's a veil over top of mankind. They will never understand until they see the glorious light of the gospel that shines through to them. And I went and walked, and I received my sight. I received my sight, brothers and sisters, one day. I received my spiritual sight one day. And you know what? He will do that for anybody this morning. He will do that for anybody. We don't know all the reasons why. We do know that God is in charge. We know that this morning. And He controls all. Thus, we must believe and understand that God is in control. We must respond. We cannot run. In these days where everything goes and everything that feels good, just go right ahead and do it. It could be easy for us as Christians, you know what? Just to say, "I'm tired of trying. The world's a mess, and what's the use?" Listen to me. We must take a lesson and call on God to do what He has called us to do. How about dial in Matthew 9:11? And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Listen to me. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Christians, we should be friends of sinners. Am I right? I'm not saying we have to partake of it. I'm not saying we have to do the things that they do. But praise God, we should be friends of sinners and try to get them to see our way. Dial Luke 9:11. "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them the kingdom of God, and healed them, and they had need of nothing." Praise God this morning. You know what? Listen, when the people, when they knew it, they followed him, and he received them, and he spake unto them the kingdom of God. What can we tell people? We can give people to let them know that they can have the kingdom of God. Amen? We can let them know. We can do that. How about dialing Psalms 9:11? How about doing that right there? Whenever it tells us this, he said, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings." If God is God, and we believe that He is, if God is the one that can save our souls, praise God. Can we not share that with people? Like Greg said, they may not want to hear it. You may go knock on a door and they may just shut the door in your face. But you know what? Praise God, we are trying to give them something. Something that matters. Something that will be there whenever this world is on fire, as the old preachers used to say. Now more than ever, people need the Lord. Do you remember that song? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. They need Him now more than ever. More than ever. It's up to us to show them the way. We need to be assured and not angry. Be assured that God is always doing to do the right thing. Be assured that God never makes a mistake. I want you to believe that this morning. Be assured of those things. Be assured that God never makes a mistake. Do you understand that? The God that we serve never makes a mistake. Our anger must be directed toward the sin, not the sinner. Righteous anger must be directed at the prince of sin, which is Satan. Well, we've been studying that. You know what? Whenever our anger is directed in the right manner, in the right way, we'll have love for people that we should have love for. We must unite against the evil that's being used, you know what, and pawned by Satan. We must do that. We must unite against terrorism not the ones that are doing the terrorism. We must try to love as much as we can. Against the act of redefining marriage, we must fight against that. But you know what? The ones that are doing this, we must love them and try to show them their ways are not right. God loves the sinner, but guess what? He hates the sin. And he always has, and that's the way that it will. He said, the Bible back in Psalms 1 says, these six things I hate, and the seventh is abomination. And read them. God hates sin. He didn't say anything about hating the sinner. God gave his son for the sinner. Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Anger will only enhance the confusion. Do you know that? Anger will only enhance the confusion. And if us as Christians are going to get angry at those that are sinning, those that are doing that instead of the sin, then we're going to be confused in the way that we should. And they're going to be confused about our message. We need to focus upon the assurance and not the outward in anger. Peter got into trouble when he looked at the storm. You know what? Now, am I telling you the truth? Peter got in trouble when he looked at the storm. But when he looked at the Lord, he rose above it. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning, you and I, if you know what, we will get ourselves in trouble if we take our eyes off of Jesus. We always will. We will get ourselves in trouble when we take our eyes off the one that we need to keep our eyes on. I do it. I'll be the first to admit it. I take my eyes off sometimes of what I should have it focused on and what I should have it centered on. And when I do, I get myself in trouble. We have problems, and that always we want to. We have a problem in this country. We always want to feel good. Am I right? We always want to feel good. We always want to feel good about ourselves. We need to rest in the fact that all is well, even when we don't feel well. All is well, even when we don't feel well. There's times we walk by faith. Do you believe that? I mean, I love to feel the Spirit as much as anybody. I love to feel the Spirit of God move in my life. But there are times I've got to walk by faith because I don't feel the Spirit. Amen? There's times we don't. But praise God, if you've never felt the Spirit, you need to get this altar. God is good even when things are bad. Amen? We need to dial Proverbs 9:11. For Proverbs 9:11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. Listen, he's telling us that. We can be assured of the goodness of God in all things. We can be assured of that. If we have assurance of salvation, we can be assured of that. Amen? How about dialing Hebrews 9:11? But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of the building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for all of us. There's no need for any other sacrifices, no need than Jesus Christ. There's none. Don't let anybody tell you have to do this to be saved, or you have to be this way to be saved. There's only one thing that you have to do, and that's accept the sacrifice that's already been made, and that is Jesus Christ. Dial Exodus 9:11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils was upon the magicians and upon the Egyptians. And listen, and the wicked will have their reward one of these days. Remember, rest assured. Listen, we look around this world sometimes, we think things is unfair, I've talked about. I want you to understand something. One of these days, those that are on the wrong side of God will get their rewards. They will. It's not for us to try to beat them down with that, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm talking to you as Christians. Don't look around and say things aren't fair. Listen to me, God will have His judgment one of these days. Revelation 9:11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name was Apollyon. Listen to me. Listen, they will have their judgment one of these days. What will we do in time of crisis? I'm going to ask you again this morning. We're going to dial 911. We must have faith. We must not fear. We must pray and we must not panic. We should believe and not blame. Don't run from the problem, brothers and sisters. Don't run from it. Respond to those who have a need. And depart in peace with assurance that Jesus Christ loves us. And if you are a Christian, one of these days you're going to be with Him. Philippians 1:6 tells us to be assured, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, I'm tickled to death. Is that right? Is that good language right there? I am tickled to death to know that Jesus Christ started a work in me one day. And if I keep my hands in His, but I'm going home one of these days, folks. I'm going home. You know what? Whether it's now, whether it's 15 years from now, whether it's 100 years from now, I'm going home. Amen? They come and get a song this morning.